Chapter 57. "We have to find allies who will believe us," LP pleaded to his friends. He, Dion, and Faith had returned to the studio to speak with Atman and Case, both of whom were investigating the files they had created. "The only problem is that Sylvie has fried all my files. Hopefully, Atman and Case have something we can work from," he said, as he nodded towards them. "Well, we're in luck," Atman declared, earning a sigh of relief from the group. "As you may recall from one of my lectures, I'm looking at you, LP. This studio is an air-gapped collection of rooms. That means it's virtually impossible to get signals in and out, and we back everything up on multiple drives, so even if something got to the computers, we'd still have backups. We've also created a number of analog tapes as a precaution." "Great. So we've got backups, but I'm still not sure where that leaves us with respect to this whole mystery," Dion said. "The mystery is," LP said, "why the hell Sylvie would come to us, basically threaten us, and then obliterate all our files. Obviously, it has something to do with what the additional communications are meant for," Case said. "I've seen recording glitches like this before, and they don't necessarily wind up exclusively on songs written about birds or by bands with animal names. That was just a fluke, it seems." "I think Sylvie is sending messages using Gaia as some kind of universal translator," Atman suggested. "What I'm hearing is that these messages could be anywhere, being played at any time, correct?" Faith asked. "Absolutely," Case confirmed. "Many of the extra materials are played at subsonic or ultrasonic levels." "Which means," LP jumped in, "because the messages are out of the range of human hearing, but other creatures might be able to hear them. They're clearly not intended for us." "Exactly," Atman said. "But there has to be something bigger behind it that's powering all these messages, and possibly even keeping track of them." "I agree with you, Atman. I think she's using Gaia," LP said. "It's likely that these messages have been transmitted everywhere, and we're just seeing the tiniest tip of the iceberg." "If there are any icebergs left," Dion quipped quietly. "So? What do we do? Who do we turn to?" It was Atman's turn to ask the questions. "I think we need to escalate the issue," Faith offered. "I think we have to speak to some regulators, someone who might be able to investigate what's going on with Gaia, or Holdfast Media, or maybe even Sylvie herself." "What about some of the tech leaders?" LP asked. "I heard that a few of the ex-Googlers and ex-Smatter executives got together to form an advocacy group that's trying to encourage governments to implement a timeout for everything related to AI."
"Good luck with that," Dion said.
"As soon as one group makes progress, another group, or some baby billionaire with an inflated ego, finds ways to stab the others in the back."
"Sure, I get that," LP said. "But this situation has gone from zero to nuclear in such a short time. If it is what we think it is, AI platforms sending out hidden messages, who knows how deeply entrenched the issue has become?"
Eugene stood. They'd met face to face, but it still struck LP what a massive man he was.
"I've been in this business for decades. Finding a bureaucrat who's not on the take from some kind of special interest group is like finding a young woman at a Rush concert. An investigation ain't gonna happen."